Yo, what's up? It's the man DJ Tattoos, the man that's trying to figure out his plan. We are waiting on the co-host, Eric, to get on. Hey, what's up, Quan? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, hello, hello?
Am I in here, brother?
What's up, what's up? Eric, can you hear me?
You're back. Super loud.
Am I? Okay, my bad. Here, let me try to turn down.
Do I sound good?
Yeah, you're good. Yep. Am I still too loud?
No, yeah, you're good. You're fine.
All right, cool.
I can manage.
All right. Well, you know, it's your boy DJ Tattoos, the man trying to figure out his plan. Today we got a little different segment going on. We got a live interview, our first one. You know, it's a buddy of me and Eric's. Yeah, man. So we're going to kind of introduce him a little bit, ask him a few questions just for the entrepreneur side of just, you know, showing somebody who's actually, you know, went through the dirty work and now is finally coming up to the top side of everything in the Twin Cities area. So, Kwame, if you want to kind of introduce yourself a little bit, kind of tell him a little bit what you do.
I'm sorry. I'm getting like really bad service. One second. I'm outside here. Hold on. One second. It's super choppy. All right, go ahead. Ask that one more time. Sorry, I couldn't.
No, I was just saying. So when kind of explaining a little bit about yourself and a little bit of
hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, can you hear us? No, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Eric, can
hello,
you hear me?
Brother.
Yep, you still there?
Okay, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
It's like 50-50.
Okay, yeah, I can't really hear you guys. All right, that sounds better now.
Better? Shit.
Just kind of explain who you are, what you do.
Yeah, of course.
Where you're from.
Yeah, my name is Stephen Quam. I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota, born and raised here. Went to St. Bernard's on Rice Street, which closed. I went to St. Anthony, then the Northeast, which connected me to a whole nother group of people outside of St. Paul. And that was honestly up until I went to my second high school. I didn't really spend that much time in Minneapolis. And that was a big part of the network that, you know, ended up leading into other things and introducing me to people that I ended up working with later on. But I've always been an entrepreneur since I was younger, working, always, you know, starting different business ideas with people when I was in high school, just always putting myself in a circle that people would share ideas and kind of think outside the box on stuff. And it wasn't, I started my first entrepreneurial kind of journey was doing a pyramid scheme. I went to St. Thomas for 2 months, and that was like really all I wanted to get out of it. I didn't like see myself graduating from St. Thomas. I just knew that if I went there and went into their Opus entrepreneurship program, that I would be introduced to a lot of like-minded people like myself that had, you know, similar visions and that I could start probably building things with. I didn't see myself graduating from there though. That was like never really the goal for me, but
you're more like networking then.
Yeah. Well, like, That's like my biggest strong suit is my network and always,
definitely.
Always like, and honestly, that came from like throwing parties in high school, like charging people $5 at a door in high school to come to a party and make like $500, $1,000, you know? And that was like, okay, like we could do something here. Like if you can get that many people somewhere in high school, you know, what could you do with an actual business? And that was like always just inserting myself into different social groups and just meeting more people. But at St. Thomas, I started, you guys might have heard of Vima.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And that was, I got torn apart from it, man. I mean, people were like big time making fun of me and like the rest of us. You guys are so dumb. You guys joined a pyramid scheme, like this and that. And at the time, I mean, we were kind of loose with it. It wasn't very structured at first, and it was a lot of like your typical pyramid scheme posting of like, we're going to get a Benz or we're going to do this and that. And you guys are going to have to watch us get successful. And a lot of that was on the surface, but when I joined Vima and started building a team and like really doing multi-level marketing, that was like where everything shifted for me as an entrepreneur. Because even though we built a really big Vima team, that's what like a lot of people don't understand, that we did have like hundreds of people on our team in different cities, a bunch of different universities that built teams underneath us. And so it was, I mean, it was working, and we did have a great team, and we would bring like a lot of people out to, but it was never, so I think
they end up working in your, on your behalf then.
What's that?
During that time that end up working on your behalf then.
Yeah.
End up making money.
Yeah. I actually was making money from Vima, and it wasn't anything crazy at all. But
side money.
Yeah, but I definitely was making money, and it was loose, man. I mean, we did have a lot of guys that were just like, hey man, you're selling weed right now. Why don't you just like take that money and buy these health and wellness products, and then we can go from there, you know what I mean? And just do the same thing you were doing selling weed, but do it with like vitamins, you know. That was like kind of our approach, was we tried to get the hood involved, where everybody else was more doing these like family, like, you know, you come to these house events and eat hors d'oeuvres and they give you a PowerPoint presentation. We were like, let's just hit the streets. Let's hit these cats that have hustle and present this idea to them. And then let's see how far, like, we could all run with it together. And
did you think that
built a big Vima team for us is we just got like, we got the hustlers involved. Like everybody that I've always known to be, you know, those are the people that I hit up first. And those are the people that actually had success within Vima. But I mean, at the end of the day, everyone gets scared of the term like pyramid scheme, right? But if you understand the business model and you understand how it works and how you can make money from it, then it's whatever. You can call it whatever you want. But if you know how you can make money in that system, then go for it. I don't care if it's a pyramid scheme or not. If I can look at it logistically from a number standpoint and say, okay, this is realistically can make money from this, then, you know, and that was like kind of our approach, because a lot of the other teams, I think, were like I said, just like, hey man, like the first like few meetings that I went to, I was not sold on it. It was like, we would show up to a meeting and some guy would get up and be like, do you want to drive a Mercedes? And we're just like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, you didn't tell me anything about this business. You just asked me if I wanted to drive a Mercedes. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. But our team, like, we finally met the right mentor, Luke Hessler from Michigan. And this guy's very, 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 very successful now. Nice. He's worth millions. But he came, and when he came to Minnesota to do a meeting for us, that's when, and I hadn't even signed up for Vima yet. None of us had. We already had like a team of people that were like we were either all going to do it together or not at all. So when we jumped into Vima right away, we had like a pretty big team of people, like just off the jump. But it took this dude, Luke Hessler, coming to Minnesota and being like, hey, don't, like, he got down to the brass of it and showed us numbers and showed us this is what you have to do. Not just like, hey, do you want to be rich or this and that, you know what I mean? It was all just on the surface until that point. But anyways, that's where things like took a turn for me, and my network grew big time from that. And definitely like started getting people to that don't like you when you start, cause we were posting a lot at that time, you know, and I was out of St. Thomas and I only made it 2 months there. And I think that I was kind of bitter, like, you don't need college. You know, there was a part of me that like definitely regrets things that I said back then. Cause I was like, you don't need college or whatever. Not necessarily like saying that it wasn't like not everyone doesn't need college, but I think part of me was like, it was just bullshit that I was in an entrepreneurship program and all they were doing was like, oh, here's some short stories or theology or this and that. And I was like, I wanted to learn about business. I wanted to own a business. I wanted to, you know, and it seemed like so much extra coursework that didn't apply to what I wanted to learn. So I just was like, this is bullshit. Like, if you're an entrepreneur, I don't necessarily think that you need a degree to fall back on. Most of the entrepreneurs that I know that are very successful don't need one, but at the same time, there's so many other people that do need college. So it was, I don't know, I had a, at that, I had kind of a bad approach about it, and I think I lost some friends that you know, just saying like, oh, college is stupid or whatever. But
for the best, probably.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's probably for the better that you lost those friends,
then. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think that was just a point where you never want to say like it's good that you lost a friend, I guess, but if you want to look at it like at that was a point where my mindset kind of shifted and I wanted to be around people that thought like I did, and that was, you know, started that's what was a turning point for me, where I started to hang around people that wanted to own businesses, people that really did think outside the box. And before that, it kind of was, I don't know, we were kind of lost in the sauce, or we looked like we were crazy trying to own businesses and stuff like that. But once you start surrounding other people that want to own businesses, then all of a sudden you go, wow, like this is really possible. And like many, many hands make light work. You know what I mean? And once you start building teams and trying to accomplish goals, things happen. And like, I really learned that with the Vima group. And it was very positive. Like, we surrounded ourselves with really positive, energetic, business-minded people. And obviously Vima isn't a thing anymore, but a lot of the people that I was involved with in Vima now own businesses and are now very successful people. So I was really happy to be plugged into a network of people through that ended up growing and blossoming, and everything that I'm doing with Covert would not have happened if it wasn't for Shane Kirby, who was my Vima mentor, who was directly above me in Vima. He signed me up. And without him, I wouldn't have been introduced to my current business partner, Blake Anderson, who is the man, you know what I mean? So I would have never met him if it wasn't for it. So I'm extremely grateful that I'm and happy in retrospect that I did it, even though at the time it was like, oh, you guys are selling health and wellness products. Yeah, okay. Have fun in that Benz. Like, it was, you know, people definitely hated on us. But, you know, people are always going to hate on yeah, people doing things. So,
right. You know,
I took it as a compliment almost, I guess.
So
you
got to
be comfortable with the criticism, for sure.
Can you guys hear me?
100%.
Yep.
All right. Well, cool. Yeah. So I guess that's piggybacking into the next kind of question is,
I cannot
like,
hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me now? How about now?
Oh, no. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
I can hear Quam too.
Okay. I can hear you.
You want to continue, Jake?
Okay. I was like, should I keep going? Should I talk about how like Covert started or?
So, yeah, I think that's what Jake was going to ask. I don't know what's up with Jake. So.
Yeah, I can't hear his audio. Yes.
You kind of explained a little bit. You said that Kirby introduced you and then you ended up meeting. So yep. I guess further go in how Covert kind of started and how you guys – you know, got that up and going.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, even like after, because Kirby moved to Los Angeles, you know, he's lived in Los Angeles for like 5 years now. All the Vima stuff kind of fizzled out in probably like 2013 or 14. Okay. And Kirby moved to Los Angeles after that. And me and him just stayed in contact with each other. And we would just kind of go back and forth with ideas all the time. Kirby is always thinking of a new business idea. He's a great entrepreneur. I learned so much from him. And he had hit me up about, he had in Los Angeles, he was working with somebody that just had a really big collection of like vintage couture pieces and streetwear and like Fear of God stuff, Dior stuff, like Supreme stuff, like all this like big collection of like thrifted streetwear pieces.
Nice.
And so it was sick, and he had hit me up and he was like, we should do a pop-up in Minnesota because there's everybody like the thrift scene here is like really dope and a lot of people really like, you know, are really into it here, but we don't really have like necessarily the same culture that like in Los Angeles you can go Fairfax swap meet every Sunday and go and, and go and grab really cool pieces. You can go to Round Two on Melrose, grab really cool pieces all the time. So out there it's like the creme de la creme of the thrifted scene, you know, you're thrifting through already thrifted pieces. And it's like, it's just super dope. So he was like, I should just send some stuff out there. You can like manage a pop-up basically for like one weekend. Say he sends out just a bunch of product, bunch of clothes. We pop it up for one weekend, whatever we don't move, you know, I'll just send back to Los Angeles. So that's how, you know, he basically started talking to me about that. And then it was, okay, well, let's find a space where we can pop it up. So after that conversation happened, then it was just kind of trying to find like a DIY warehouse spot or something where we could go and bring all these clothes, pop it up for a weekend and, you know, and try and move some stuff. And so, and he knew, that's when he introduced me to Blake Anderson. He goes, so Blake Anderson, little background on him, that's my business partner who I own Covert with. He owns his own textile manufacturing company, Visionary Manufacturing, and and he's booming right now. He's absolutely killing it. He's doing big textile orders for a lot of streetwear brands, for companies, for schools, for everything.
Good for him.
The man is, he's absolutely 100% the reason why Covert and a lot of other brands are anything. He's an extremely hardworking individual, and like, I owe it to everything to him. But basically,
shout out Blake.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out to Blake. But so Kirby says, I know this guy, Blake Anderson. He just rented out this commercial real estate property in the North Loop on Broadway and 2nd. It was a 2,000 square foot warehouse space. And he got in, he talked to him, and he had just moved into the space to make it like a visionary showroom and office for his business. So Kirby was like, hey, I'll talk to him and see if we could do the pop-up there, because he had just got that space. So I was like, perfect, link me up with him. He just sends me Blake's number. I just gave him a call and I said, hey, I'm Kirby's friend. We're talking about doing a pop-up at your space. You know, can we set up a time and I can come and meet you and look at it? And we can talk about it. And sure enough, like a couple days later, I go out there and I drive to the North Loop and I go and look at the space. And this space was a Bernie Sanders campaign headquarters before he got it. So he got a really good deal on the space.
Nice.
Because it was like all fucked up from this like Bernie Sanders campaign. They left it just trashed. There's like just like stuff hanging on all the walls. The paint was all messed up, and yeah, it was kind of a mess. So Blake was, when I went to meet him, he was in the process of remodeling it, painting everything white with black trim. So he had all of the pillars in there and everything painted black, and then the walls were just white. So he was in the process of putting like a couple thousand dollars into remodeling this space. And I just went out there and I met him and we talked about doing this pop-up. But right away, me and Blake just hit it off. And I started going over there and just meeting with him on a pretty regular basis and kind of just talking about like, well, you know, he was just going to be using it for a visionary headquarters in his office and his showroom. He was going to have all his textile samples there so people could come and shop them, and then he could have his meetings and everything there. Because at that time, he was literally running a business out of his home. And, you know, it was getting messy probably doing meetings there and everything. So he wanted to have his own space, of course. So I go out there and we just started trying to figure out different ways that we could utilize that space. And he had already actually done some art events for, at that time, he had already started, I think, a couple of different brands. Frosty Headwear was one of the brands. He had like a skate team with them and a bunch of stuff. The dude's an absolute grinder. And so he already was like, hey man, we could like take these, you know, we can make this kind of a creative hub for artists and like this and that. And one thing honestly led into another, and all of a sudden we were like, let's utilize this space, you know, as a gallery and a workplace for artists to come hang their work, display their work. We would help them sell it. We wouldn't take any commission. They could come and shoot live videos there and do time-lapse videos of them creating stuff. So we all of a sudden, it just kind of turned in, before Covert was like what it's known as now, is like, you know, a clothing brand, and obviously like all the events and stuff that we do. It really was just like a place for artists to come. And our initial goal was just to grow the value and appreciation of art. So we just wanted to have a space where local artists could come and create, and we would just shoot videos and just get a bunch of content from them. And it was really cool. So at first we just started reaching out to artists that I know, you know, I don't know if you know Willie Fox from St. Thomas. He was one of the very first artists that we had in there that hung up paintings and everything. And then from there, it was all of a sudden just like the word just kind of got out, and we just started everywhere we went. We just started talking to people. Hey, we got this gallery space. If you know any artists that want to hang up there, we got this, you know what I mean? And it was just like everyone started telling everybody, and you came through a bunch of times. So, you know, that it was just like, it became a hub for people to just come and create. We had DJs coming through spinning. We had artists in there painting all the time and working. It just kind of,
I was just at that last one, dude. That shit was awesome.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was such a vibe.
Yeah, and it was definitely a vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was so like the whole goal for Covert was started in that location, and covert means not openly acknowledged or displayed. And when we came up with Covert, we branded the entire company off of that first physical location. It's tucked away in the North Loop in this warehouse district. You didn't really know it was there. You had to get buzzed in. You had to know somebody that knew us, basically. It was very low-key, very covert. So we sat there, and that was, you know, part of the branding process was, you know, what is Covert? What does it mean to us? What does it mean to everybody else? What does it mean to the artists? And that's how we kind of came up with it. Not openly acknowledged or displayed. And that kind of goes also embodying the artists that we were working with that weren't necessarily acknowledged or displayed, because they were low key. We were grabbing the local artists that didn't have a platform to create or display their work or sell their work. So that was the whole goal initially, was we got all these talented artists that don't necessarily have lanes to sell their work or places to come and create, you know. So we just wanted to give the artists a platform that they that they could work through. And that's how it all started.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's a great idea you guys came up with.
Yeah, it was really cool. And from there, it just like, it kind of, you know, a couple months in, then all of a sudden we're going, well, if we're shooting these time-lapse videos and if we have all these people here, we should probably like get some merch that we can put on the artists so they represent Covert. So, yep. So it didn't really start as like a traditional clothing brand. And I think that's why Covert works so well as a clothing brand, is because of the history of it and the background, where we didn't like sit down and go, we want to start a clothing brand. It basically was like, well, we have this company, this creative company that we have a good lane to put some merch on these artists and work with them. And so we just ordered like the corduroy hats that we sell so much of. We ordered like black hoodies, just like really basic, like acid wash tees, like really simple, like essential stuff at first, but we just wanted stuff to put on the artists and they would represent Covert. And that's kind of how it all started. And then from there, it was like, now we're taking physical paintings and we're sublimating fabrics. And it was a good testing ground for Blake, because he was able to use Covert as kind of a testing ground for some of his visionary manufacturing techniques and things like that. So,
definitely, yeah.
I mean, like all of these, like one of the first pieces that we did, I actually was at Updown, like recently after we had started Covert. And, you know, it just came up in conversation. I was talking to some people and all of a sudden this lady goes, hey, my friend is a really great artist. You should meet her. She's here right now. And she introduces me to Nina Reedy, who was a U of M design student, extremely talented, does really big abstract pieces. And
nice.
And that was the first artist that we actually did a collaboration with. So we ended up, and I just met this. It was crazy, like how these things happen, how you meet these people and how you put that energy out into the world and how it returns, you know, in your favor.
Stars aligned type stuff.
Yeah. Law of attraction, man, like 100%. And that's like, dude, that's like back to the Vima days of like, those are like mindsets and things that I started practicing that you see, like you see the benefits of always thinking about, thinking positively and always thinking about how things are going to play in your favor with the right mindset and this and that. So I meet this girl, Nina Reedy, who's just extremely talented. I couldn't believe her work. And we have her in, and it was Blake's idea. He was like, we could sublimate this Nina Reedy piece, this really big, cool, colorful piece. And he was like, let's make a button up out of it. So one of the first artist collaborations that we did was this button up with Nina Reedy. And she basically brought this huge piece in that she was displaying in the Covert gallery at the time. And we just photographed it, vectorized the image, and then Blake sublimated fabric and then used his manufacturer overseas to cut it into button-ups. And that was one of the first pieces that we did that was like, people were like, whoa. Because now for all of these artists that at the time were either, so Nina Reedy's pieces are pretty expensive. Not everybody can afford a couple $1,000 painting, and you know, artists are selling prints as well, and people do buy prints, you know, that's also a great lane for artists to make money. But the wheels started turning, and it was like, what's another medium that the artist can use to make money. And it was like, everybody buys clothing. Blake's manufacturing clothing for all these brands. Why don't we start, you know, using the art, making it wearable art? The artists are getting paid from it. We're getting really cool design concepts from it. And it was just like a match made in heaven from there, just working and collaborating with artists to push the brand forward. And that was like, that was kind of at the time where it started, we started focusing more on the clothing. Cause like I said, we didn't start it as a clothing brand. That's, I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Jake.
And I feel like that's what a lot of people think. Cause at first when I, so I met you at the Onion actually.
Shout out the Onion. R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. the Onion.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that's where I first heard of Covert, and I saw everyone wearing the hats, and I was like, oh, okay, so it might be like a clothing brand type thing. So yeah. I looked into it, and then I'm actually friends with Matt, too. I've seen you at the office one time, I believe.
I'm going to meet with him right after this. Shout out Matt Miyoki. He's the man.
But yeah, and then he kind of explained to me that, no, we like to give a platform to artists type stuff. I was like, oh, okay. So then I got the full understanding of what Covert was.
Yeah.
But yeah, what you guys are doing is awesome, man. And I hope reach to the top.
Thank you. Definitely. Yeah, and it's...
So what, in other words, what are some other plans you guys have in the future, if you can speak on those?
Yeah.
What are, when I was in the office, I heard you guys were kind of rebranding. Are you guys are you putting out clothes or what?
Yeah, so we're definitely in a rebranding phase a little bit here. We got invited to LA Men's Market, and that's where things like kind of we started getting a little more exposure. Was when we flew out to LA and we did this show, LA Men's Market. It was basically just a trade show in Los Angeles. You go and you bring your collections, and you know, stores and boutiques and whatever, they come and shop and see if they want to put your stuff in their store, basically. So when we went and did the LA trip, and we went and stayed with Shane Kirby out in West Hollywood on Sierra Bonita in Santa Monica. So we went out there and linked with him. Kirby is still a huge part of Covert, 100% still. He's always going to be, you know, on the team and working with us and have a huge role in the company. So anything we do in Los Angeles, we're going to be out there working with Kirby. So we went out there and did the Los Angeles show, the LA Men's Market. And that's when people were like, oh, wow. Like, and at this time, we weren't even like a year old, or maybe we were. That was like a little over a year old as a company when we went and did LA Men's Market. So it was kind of wild where all of a sudden people were like, what? Like Covert, like you guys are already in like LA doing the show. And I will say, like, everybody sees like the cool things that we do, but it was like really stressful. I mean, it still is stressful. It's hard running a business and stuff financially, but you know, at the time it was like trying to make ends meet with ordering product. We got invited to LA Men's Market, and then it was like, wow, we have like a month to design a bunch of stuff and like order samples to get ready for this show. So it was like big time crunch time. And we had to like, we literally sat down in one afternoon, me, Matt, and Blake, and designed like a bunch of stuff that we brought to LA. Cause we were like, okay, well, if we're going to do this show, we literally have to get these designs done and we got to get them ordered. Cause all the cut and sew custom stuff that we do that Blake manufactures, you know, it takes like a month to manufacture these pieces. So international shipping and everything, it just takes time. So it was like, we were like really down to the wire and we had to order all this stuff, but I'm super happy that we did that. Cause we went out to LA and we just networked and we met so many cool people out there. And it was so good to just bring our brand out there and show people and get feedback from people in Los Angeles where everybody's got a clothing brand or everybody knows somebody, you know, in a saturated market. It was cool to see like how we stood up and people really liked our stuff. It was really cool. And we all got so many connections in Los Angeles. So anytime we go out there, it's so easy to work. I love working with people out there. I think it's, everybody's more open to ideas and I don't know. Part of Minnesota has this vibe where people don't really want to see you succeed type of thing. Or at the, you know, we were only a year old at the time. And I think there was a lot of other brands in the city that had been around for a while that maybe were looking at us like, why are they doing this or getting this opportunity? Or, but we just always moved differently. We were, you know,
it's the grind.
It's a grind. Yeah. And we always treated it like 100% as a business. So we were trying to put ourselves into these shows. We were putting ourselves out there. We weren't just like screen printing t-shirts and then going and doing a pop-up at, you know, whatever. And like, no, I love all the brands in the city. We have great relationships with all of them. There's no, you know, I think we all just need to come together and create as a, you know, as the Twin Cities. Like, there's so much talent here. There doesn't need to be any. We should all be like uplifting each other as brands, as artists, as DJs and producers. And, you know, there doesn't need to be like our competition is everybody outside of Minnesota. We don't need to be competing with each other here in the state. We should all be trying to say, let's get on this level with LA and Chicago and Los Angeles. And you know what I mean? All these other major hubs that are doing this shit. Nobody cares about us here. Like, that's why we need to like stick together and everybody needs to help each other. And I think that's like, that's just so important. I couldn't stress that enough.
That's why they're kind of doing this too, is just to kind of get entrepreneurs and business like people all on one boat in a way. So
for sure.
You connect with people, you can go follow them, and then you can reach out and stuff like that.
I think it's really cool. I think it's awesome what you guys are doing.
Appreciate it, man.
No, that's really important. Like, we need a lot more of that. And I think definitely. It's, I don't know, I think it is shifting. I think that people are more down to collab with each other more than ever, and that it is like a universal effort. But I just feel like for a long time, it was kind of like people putting each other down, or if it wasn't your brand or your song getting rotated, then it wasn't, you know, you didn't really care about those people. So I don't know. That always was kind of threw me off. It's like the Minnesota Nice thing was kind of not necessarily true, where you go out to Los Angeles and people, it was just cool. Like, people just wanted to work. If you were popping, people wanted to work with you. I felt like when we were popping here, people were kind of more just like, they would rather see you fail than to work with you. And I always thought that was so weird. Like, why wouldn't you want to work with the people that are on? I always want to, like, if somebody's popping, I'm like, I'm in your DMs trying to work with you, trying to collab with you. You know what I mean?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Of course. 100%. It's all like mutually beneficial too. You know, if it, bringing different networks and demographics together to share ideas and things, maybe I don't reach the same demographic you do. Maybe my fans don't, you know, it's, and we all come together and collab, and now we're all sharing and we're introducing things to so many people. And I think that's like what it's all about. That's so important in sharing the art and, you know, like, that's what helps everything grow for sure.
Hopefully within these next 2 to 3 years, man, we can get shit popping here in the Twin Cities.
I think we're well on our way for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely.
I think the city, especially with the music scene here, I mean, you got, and I think, like, shout out Bobby Raps, man. I think Bobby Raps, like, for me, like, growing up in St. Paul, like, watching him freestyle at the Como Pits, like, and then just, like, his, like, watching his success, and that's, like, the hardest working dude that's ever come out of Minnesota straight up, and all the, he just had 2 songs that he produced on Thug's album. I mean, just it was just like
that. Bobby, that too. That's dope.
Yeah, that's amazing to see that, especially out of St. Paul, because like Covert is definitely much more known as a Minneapolis brand for sure. You know, we're not. I'm like the only one out of the team that's from St. Paul, and Blake's from Maple Grove, but we started it in the North Loop, so we'll always be kind of more of a Minneapolis brand. But I'm from St. Paul, so. Like, part of me is always give St. Paul its credit too, man, because we're out here working and we don't really get the same the respect that Minneapolis gets.
Nah, yeah, definitely.
But it's weird. Like, so what, if I travel, I feel like I usually end up saying I'm from Minneapolis to people instead of St. Paul. Like, even though, like, I don't know, because I'll be like, I'm from St. Paul, and they're like, oh, okay, and then like, oh no, like Minneapolis, and they're like, oh, you're from Minneapolis, oh, okay. If you're like out of state, it's just weird. I'm like, St. Paul's capital.
Dope. So I guess, and you guys, Covert, have any shows coming up anytime soon?
We just did, I just actually got back from Columbus. So shout out Mike Johnson. He's our DJ that does a lot of our events. He teaches at Slam Academy. Just like musically gifted. He's like a savant he just can play like any instrument, sing, produce. I mean, he's like really remarkable. And we always are having more DJs. Jake, of course, 100% come and spin with him. But he's Mike's kind of like our in-house DJ. He does all of our events, and he produced this album for Sarab. So we actually were just out in Columbus, Ohio, my first time being in Ohio. And Sir Rob wears like a lot of our hats and stuff. He likes our gear. So I went out there, like did a merch table. They did the album release party. He produced the whole album. They performed everything. And I popped up there with the merch and then talked to Sir Rob about manufacturing his own artist merch and stuff like that. But and then we came back and we just did Raw Minneapolis then on Wednesday night downtown at the Poorhouse, which was really cool. Actually, a really fun show. One of our other artists, Justin Hammer, who we did a collab with, was in that show as well. But yeah, right now, so it, and that's like kind of where Covert is at, is finding the balance between releasing clothing and doing events. Because we kind of got after LA Men's Market, and then we won the a scholarship to Agenda Las Vegas. So we just we got caught up in the sauce with the clothing and trying to put it in stores and do all this stuff. And like the Vegas show was like really great exposure for us, especially winning that scholarship. I mean, that was like really, really great content for us, and it helped us grow for sure. But we kind of realized after that that we don't need to put our we don't really want to put our stuff in stores. Like we don't need to put our hoodies in Zoomies or Macy's or whatever to make it move. I think that that takes a little bit away from the value of our brand, where we just we'd rather just be a direct to consumer brand, especially the fact that Blake is the one manufacturing everything. We just we get such good margins. We don't need to wholesale stuff out to retailers. We just we'd rather do stay true to what we do and do pop-ups and do, you know, release things organically through our own channels. I think that's important that we remain, you know, with using that model as releasing clothing. We just do stuff 50 at a time. So
you guys network and all that, that just that helps a lot also. You know, just you having that network and connections with many people.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Any heads.
Plus it's like if you the second that we put a hoodie in Zoomies, for instance, it's no longer like we lose a little bit of control over where our brand is going. Cause now it's like now you're a Zoomies brand. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily the same vibe as, oh, if you want a Covert piece, you have to show up to this pop-up to get this. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to get it from us. And it's a little, it's more exclusive. Not that we're trying to like, there is some exclusivity in what we do as a brand, especially with the artist collaborations and like the limited runs of stuff that we do. But we're not out here like so many people come up, you know, to Blake, especially in manufacturing the clothing, and they go like, yeah, I just want to like start a brand that's basically just Supreme. Like, I just want to like, you know, I want to make a hoodie and just make like 10 of them and charge like $200. And it's just like, you can't do that. That's not how it works. You don't just decide the value of a product. It takes time to build that value. So like what we're doing is now being, we'll be 2 years as an LLC on October 9th, 2 years will be October 9th. We're young, so we're young, but we've taken.
You mind saying that again? You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. But it takes, yeah. Our products and our artist collaborations and things like that. But yeah, so like as of right now, Covert is. We're kind of restructuring a little bit. We're trying to find the balance between doing events and releasing products. We got some really, really dope products coming out in the next couple months here. Our fall stuff is really, really nice. We got this 3M map jacket that I shared a picture of that's going to be dropping. Super sick.
That's fun,
and then, that one's going to be fire. And then we got a Nina Reedy, another Nina hoodie that we're dropping too. That's also just a really cool fall piece. And then we also have, we just linked up with actually somebody that I went to St. Anthony with. His name is Shane Huss, and he runs a brand called Mindful Release. And he's got a big following on Instagram, but he's a calligraphy artist. So he's just really, really talented with calligraphy. He does like big commissioned murals for like all over Minneapolis. And we just, we link with him on this hoodie that we're releasing. So he came and did this huge, huge roll of calligraphy that we then photographed and vectorized, and we were making a fabric out of that. So we got that collaboration dropping as well. I don't have any, like, events set in stone right now. We're working on a charity event, too, for September. But I don't have any, like, hard dates right now. But we'll be cool. Doing another interactive event here, too. We're kind of building, like, a series of events that we'll do, like, every couple months. We'll do an interact event. Modern Craft, we'll do once a year. We just did our big Modern Craft event. So yeah, I mean, we're definitely trying to get back to doing the events though. That's kind of our bread and butter right now.
Nice, nice. Yeah, keep it going, man, to keep it active. But I think we're about to close it up here.
Yeah, thank you. I got to get going too. Sorry.
You want to do any shout outs? You want to give out your social media, Covert?
At covert.us on everything. Covert.us is our website. Covert.us on Instagram, Facebook. Shout out the whole team. Brandon Polzak from Social Butterfly. He's our media guy. Blake Anderson, of course. Matt Miyoki, Shane Kirby. Our boy Harrison in L.A., killing it. Brand ambassador out there for us. And shout out to all the artists and everybody in the city that's doing their thing, man. We just want to continue to help people out and give everyone a platform to work on, man.
Yeah, definitely. So everyone tune in, you know, go follow the Covert social media. And I want to say thanks again.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
We'll be in touch.
Peace. Bye-bye.